Pickaxe.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the Triforce Podcast this fine Thursday morning.
It's us, we're back again, once again.
It's raining.
It's typical.
It's pissing it down.
Victorian English weather.
Does it have to be Victorian? Is that like the Victorian times were ushered in the rainy days? Is that?
Yes, and in the 20th century it did not rain a single second of any of the days.
No, not even an ounce of rain. And now
I don't know.
That greyness just reminds me of like the
of when you were around in Victorian Britain.
Yeah.
Walking the streets.
Like a film noir kind of.
Good morning to you, Mr. Brindley. Yeah. Aha! Good morning to you, Mr. Forsyth. How are you today? Fine, fine. The urchins in my factory are working hard. And yours? I've managed to halve their gruel
ration. I'm off to the apothecary to buy some cocaine gum for medicinal purposes.
And a dodo for dinner.
Yes, washed down with a lovely glass of port.
They all had gout in those days, man.
Of course they did. They were just living it up too hard. They're just like, it was all the finer things constantly, you know?
But how good could the food have been, really, is my question.
I tell you what, I read an article this week from a Liverpool cafe that found a 100-year-old menu. So a sort of Victorian-era menu from when they were... When they were, I guess, a more upmarket place. And man, the food on there looked pretty grim.
Yeah.
Well, it's all relative to the time, though, right? I mean, back then, not everything would have had sugar in it, which is what we're sort of more accustomed to now, right? Like, everything is seasoned with, like, a sort of like a sauce that has, like, some sweetness to it or whatever. But back then, I think they tried to do stuff like that, but it was a lot more natural, right? There was a lot less... processed stuff or produced stuff, and it was like it was more fresh stuff but mixed up in like weird wacky ways that probably
I didn't even know what half of this stuff
you
was.
Wouldn't want so, to like, eat nowadays, right? Because we're accustomed to like different tastes and stuff.
I will say this, if you took someone from the Victorian era and took them out for dinner in modern London, I'm pretty sure they'd be blown away. They'd be like, this is unbelievable. I can't believe how little gristle there is in this.
Yeah, but then they'd have like crippling diarrhea for like a week as well.
Yeah, I guess it would be quite rich.
Yeah,
absolutely. A lot more seasoning.
Like, imagine you took somebody from the Victorian era out for like a fucking big curry. Like, they'd be dead. They would love it, but they would probably die, right? Like, they're just not, they would not be equipped for like the taste sensation and like the,
I guess,
you know, like all the crazy spices and stuff. You have to ease yourself into that stuff.
Right. But if you've never had a curry as a modern 20th century into the 21st century man, your first curry didn't kill you.
No, but like it would double you over probably, right?
Probably.
If you weren't used to it.
If you gave him a pharl or something really hot like that, then
yeah.
But you're trying to murder me, Mr. Brindley! Fetch the physician! Leeches! Leeches!
Yeah.
I'm afraid we're going to have to lose that arm, sir.
Well, that's before fine, you lost the other one. Barely use it anyway. I've got servants to handle things for me.
I wonder if you would eat these things. So the soups, just the first thing on the menu is consommé de volaille.
Yeah.
Volaille. I don't even know what that is.
It's French. It means it's French soup.
Case closed.
Case closed.
Right.
Diagnosis, murder, baby.
Looks like we got some French here, Chief.
So that's fourpence. Or you could have Scotch broth,
which is
fourpence.
Of course. Most of the food that they ate back then, if it was hot food, it was some sort of soup. Right? Like, there wasn't just, they didn't, maybe the Victorians more so than previously, but, you know, like a lot of their warm food would have been broth, stews, like stuff that you just shove a lot of crap into a pot and And then just let it like stew or simmer like throughout the day sort of thing, right? Like you didn't have like a heating control like we have nowadays where you can just like quickly whip up a pasta or something like that. You know what I mean? Like they didn't have the level of control that we enjoy nowadays with all that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, I think you might be right. But I mean, I don't know what cream à la reine is either.
The queen's cream. It's like the emperor's new clothes, but it, this time it's a queen and it's her cream. So
she squirts in a bowl and you add a little basil everywhere. And it's delicious. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Is it the queen's soup? Is that what it's? Is that the translation?
That's bizarre. I think they get some water from the river Rain and add a bit of cream and then you drink that.
Like how is Ren spelled?
Rain, like it's in like royal, I guess. Yeah, like the crown. Is it Rain?
If it's R E N N E, I think that's queen.
No, it's R E I N E.
That's
R E I N E. Oh, that's Queen, yeah. Sorry, no. R-E-N-N-E is a place, right?
That's Ren. Yeah. I think with an S.
But R-E-I-N-E is Queen in French. Yeah, so it's... yeah,
royal
it sounds soup. Like it's cream of the queen.
It's chicken à la reine, has rice in it.
Yeah.
That's chicken à la reine. Soup à la reine, queen soup, here we go.
There you
one
go.
Liter okay. of chicken stock, the meat of two chicken legs, well cooked, cook it for 3 hours, milk... cream, flour, butter, and an egg and some peas. Sounds pretty bland. Basically just a boring chicken soup.
The entrees, let me ask you whether you want any of these. Do you want sweetbreads and peas?
Ooh, isn't sweetbreads like the balls and testicles and penis of a animal?
No, it's called, it's like throat, isn't it? Or stomach, or is it pancreas? It's definitely not.
It's not a bit you'd want.
It's not, it doesn't sound,
but they gave it that name.
Sounds nice, but no.
Sweetbreads? Well, this appears to be a dong.
Yes, they are not what you want to be eating. No, that's at the top of the list. That's the thing that everyone orders, apparently.
That's how they caught Hannibal Lecter in the remake of Red Dragon.
Yeah.
Will Graham goes around to his house and he's looking through Gastronomique de la Renique book, which I bought in a charity shop for a couple of quid because I was
He was going through airport security and they had a little snack bag and they looked in and it was just people's nipples. Like it was just a whole bunch of fried up nipples
Deep
in there.
Deep fried like, nipples.
Excuse me, sir. What was this? He's like, that's my
nipples,
snack.
Nipples, my nipple snack.
That, yeah. I just feel so sick now you've said that. Oh my God. That triggered something in me. I mean, I was thinking about
like the same
food.
Way that we would have like a bag of cashews or something. He's
right.
just got a bag of nipples.
I don't like...
Those are my snack nipples. What?
Yeah.
What? My snack nipples, Clarice.
The next on the list is Irish stew.
But that's going to have potatoes in it.
But we put Irish
sure,
people
right?
in that. No. We put Irish people in that. The Victorians really didn't like the Irish. So you found a lad, an Irish lad, top of the morning to you, because that's what they all say. And he said, they would go, I say, my good man, look in this bag, would you? I'll be looking in your bag there. And when he looked in the bag, you bonked him over the head and then you took the body away and chucked it in a soup.
That's brutal.
Well, it's kind of like those beef braised, beer braised soups, you know, where, because obviously they're all drunk with the Guinness, right? And so it would be like putting a can of Guinness in, basically.
They're all
it would
drunk.
Kind of, yeah. Well, back then, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So a braised steak, lard miere, I think it says.
Yeah.
Okay. You're selling this.
Don't know what that means.
Yeah, this
chicken
sounds good.
Chicken cutlets and spaghetti.
Oh, right. Really? Okay. Yeah. So that's like the Victorians were kind of like the first to get really adventurous, right? With cuisine and stuff. So a lot of their like big ticket meals would have been imported stuff, right? Like from you know the continent or even beyond or whatever. I think that's when it like sort of you know traditional Italian food started making it like over here, and you probably would have had some
French.
Indian food and stuff too, right?
Maybe
around the time starting to make its way over, but it would have been seen as very exotic, right?
Yeah,
well,
I mean, didn't they
that,
used to put a pineapple in the middle of the table, and that was like la di da?
Oh yeah, God, yeah, it was like that used to be a pretty big deal. If you had
soup. Yes. There's another one, mock turtle soup. It was created in the mid 18th century, so it's a little earlier than the Victorian. Obviously, it's a cheap cheaper imitation of green turtle soup, which I guess had turtle in. And it uses brains and organ meats, such as the calf's head or a calf's foot, to duplicate the texture and flavor of the original turtle meat. Now, if you're having to make mock turtle soup, and you're like, how can we make this really unpleasantly textured? Let's put some fucking organs and brains in it, because then people will think it's like turtle soup. So in other words, you had something that was obviously texturally fairly unpleasant. Let's remake it with brains and a calf's head and foot. Yeah. Gross.
Those are the days. You people are still getting away with stuff like this, though, just naming it stuff that sounds fine, like, you know, like the sweetbreads. The other options are more obvious. There's grilled kidneys and bacon.
That actually sounds quite good. That sounds quite good.
Veal and ham rissoles.
I can't remember what's in a rissole, but I don't think it's very nice.
That's 10 pence, that one, so that's slightly more expensive.
It's actually a small patty inside pastry, so it's like a mini Cornish pasty. Baked or deep fried. Like that doesn't sound too bad.
There you go.
Haricot oxtail. I'm not sure.
I bet they actually used an oxtail for that, though.
I don't know if they did. It's nothing. It's just supposed to, I don't think oxtail was ever actually put in stuff.
They would have done it back then.
They probably would have, yeah.
Okay. Boiled cod with hollandaise sauce.
Oxtail is actually the tail of the ox. It's like it's a big gristly looking thing with the bone running through the middle and some fairly shitty meat on the outside. So it's
not just a string.
No, the stringy, tiny
They used to use all that shit back then. There was like applications for like every part of the animal.
Yeah.
And then coming into the industrial era, we decided that instead of doing something with all of that stuff, or like lots of little things with all of that stuff, we were just going to combine it all together and make hot dogs. So
Luncheon meat as well.
Yeah, Kraft single slices, but like they're little meat squares and stuff. That's all it is.
Yeah,
the shit that they don't have any real use for after the animal's been butchered and the good cuts have been taken.
Two words. Fridge raiders. The most disgusting thing I've ever seen. You know what?
You don't know where it's from, right?
Right, but as a meat eater, obviously I'm alone on the podcast in that, and there is an element of guilt, I would say.
Really?
To eat. Yeah, of course, because I know what it's doing to the planet and stuff like that, and I understand that the amount of, you know, I don't want to get all fucking political because people hate that, but there is no doubt that meat is far more difficult and expensive to produce than vegetables. I get that. And if we cut our meat intake down, it would be a lot better for the environment. Anyway, we cannot do that until we stop thinking that you have to have meat 3 times a day. And then they thought, how can we get more meat into people's mouths? So Fridge Raiders comes along, which is just chunks of unidentified meat that you keep in your fridge. So when you're presumably some man, because it's always a man in the advert, going, oh, I'm a bit hungry, I need some meat for my belly, like an orc. And they open the fridge, where's the meat? Oh, there's a Fridge Raiders. What part of the animal is this? Oh, don't ask, Gorblub. Just shove it in your face, because we're men and we just want meat all the time.
Gorblub! Oh, my God.
That's all it's become.
Yeah, no.
Why are we gonna do that?
Which is crazy. I feel like that would have been something that you could have seen in the 80s and it would have been perfectly acceptable, right? You know, like I think like most fridges in the 80s were just jam-packed full of weird meats and stuff, leftover meat, meatloafs and all that shit. But nowadays, I don't know. I feel like it's, you know, I feel like it's changed a little bit. You know, people are like eating like avocados a lot more. And,
yeah, there's a lot more healthiness.
There's definitely like superfood kind of options that are not meat based, and people are very aware of them now. And obviously, there's a lot of money being made off of this as well. I mean, the freshest unprocessed food somehow is more expensive than you know, stuff that has actually had to like be created and go through a factory. It doesn't make sense, but there you go.
It's true.
Well, it's the kind of, you've seen those machines, haven't you? It's like a bucket with loads of rubber fingers in it that jiggles and they throw like a chicken corpse in there and it jiggles it around and shakes off all the little bits.
Have you ever looked at one of those and just thought, man, it would feel weird if my cock was in there?
That's the first thing
what
I thought.
I, yeah. What if I could fuck
you
that?
You just think, right? You're just like, what if I just put my bear dong in there? Like, what would happen? That'd be crazy. That would be
We're
nuts.
Always looking for opportunities.
Oh,
we
yeah,
really
absolutely.
Are.
Yeah. Always looking for a new sensation, you know? Always. Trying to keep my life spicy.
I guess for women, they're thinking, if I sat on that and it's vibrating a lot, I wonder if that would give me the jollies. I reckon it would.
Because that's a thing, right? The you know, the wobbly dryer.
The washing machine,
machine and shit. Yeah.
So I've asked women about that. Like, is that really a thing? And they're all like, oh yeah. I think, oh, that's why, you know,
back in the day.
That's why back in the day, you know, all the mums were like, oh, I'll do the washing. No, I'll do the washing. They couldn't wait to do the washing. It would be like the one thrill they get. Because washing up, there's no vibration there. Even the dishwasher barely moves. I reckon they made tumble dryers and washing machines specifically to vibrate.
Well, this reminds me of a thing. Okay, so this week I was recommended to download some by one of my friends, like this kind of ambient sound app for the for Alexa, right? So you say, sorry if anyone's got one, I've just triggered it. You say the name of the thing, and then you say, play rain sounds.
Alexa,
right?
Or play rain sounds.
Okay, exactly. And that will then happen. But they've got like apps on them now. So they will sometimes these paid for apps. And some of them actually have this huge, huge library of sounds where you can play multiple sounds at the same time find this perfect moment. And I was looking through the sound list, and some of the sounds were like, what the fuck?
Wow.
Okay. But for example, one of the sounds was washing machine.
Hmm. Oh, that's a really popular one for like white noise, washing machine sounds. There's videos like this on YouTube for getting your baby to go to sleep. Like stuff.
I do find it soothing.
Yeah, all of like that sort of really non-intrusive, monotonous background noise. There's definitely a big sort of.
Oh my god! So here's the list of them. Okay, it's very long. Windy leaves, windy trees, rain on a tin roof.
Oh, that's
shower
annoying.
Sounds.
Mm. Oh, I like rain. I like being inside when it's raining heavily and you can hear the
absolutely,
water.
Absolutely, but not on a
like
tin roof.
Maybe tin roof is too much. Yeah.
Then it starts getting weird. Frog sounds, seagull sounds.
Frog sounds?
I find those upsetting, actually. I wouldn't want to hear those.
Womb
just
sounds.
Just a frog just fucking croaking and, you know, bubbling and shit, like whatever other sounds they make. Like, they're all slimy and stuff. I mean, I don't mind frogs, but man, I don't want to listen to them constantly.
So I was like, play at random, and I got like Tibetan bowl sounds and snoring sounds.
Oh,
snoring sounds.
No, it sounded like the monk in a monastery had just like fallen asleep on his back, was just snoring away.
If they have snoring sounds, you might as well just have a completely quiet room with people eating sounds. Like, I can't think of anything worse. Like, that would absolutely trigger me off of the face.
Well,
of the
exactly.
Planet.
Eating exactly. sounds.
Yeah, like the sound of people like smacking and eating
smacking
and shit.
Their plates, the knife and forks on the plate.
There should be an opposite, like some sounds to get you. Like, you know the way before a football match or something, they play like pounding music to really get them all G'd up. If you had a grudge match coming, you wanted to really anger your team, just play eating sounds.
Yeah.
Like, just, you know, when you're listening to Radio 4 or something and there's an interview, and the people all have the mic really close, and I can't remember, there is a term for it, when the mouth movement sounds, if you take away the actual words and just have that, it's like, it's the grossest sound. It's like people slapping hands together.
Maybe people,
it's horrible,
maybe some people
it's
like
horrible.
It, but I know like even some streamers who will eat on stream, you know, like they'll have like a full meal like on stream and they'll just like watch a video or something. But you know, like if you're...
It's there's certain people who like it.
You know,
like,
but you know when you're doing that? You know when you're, if you're eating and watching something at the same time, you're completely unaware of how loud you're being eating.
Oh my god. Because
you're concentrating
yes.
on something else and you're like grunting and fucking smacking and shit like that.
Slurping.
Oh my god.
Some people,
at least
like,
if it's quiet, you have some awareness. But I think if your mind is on something else while you're eating, that's got to be
the
worst combo.
You could see the most beautiful woman in the world, right?
Yeah.
And then go out for dinner with her and then watch her drink a glass of water. It's like, oh my God. It's like very.
But I think that's
hot,
why
hot,
in restaurants
hot.
There's a lot of like focus on ambience as well, right? Like,
oh, you've got to have some music or something.
And you can hear like the slight murmur of everybody's talking and stuff. There's a bit of music. Because if it wasn't, if there was none of that, oh my God, like dating would never work. You would just be like, fuck you! You're fucking gulping all the time! You'd get up and leave in a rage, you know? Like, it would be the worst.
So these sounds, right? Lawnmower sounds.
No.
Oh,
I feel
what?
Like that.
No one is
keen for that one, right?
I remember one time I was, when I was in the cadets at school, and we went on a trip. It was a week on a merchant navy vessel in Scotland that went around the Isle of Arran and all around the west coast of Scotland, I think that
right.
was. And we were all of us. So it was like 15 or 16 lads or something like that. And we all had to sleep in a series of bunks, like below decks, obviously. And they were stacked up in tiers of like three, just set into the wall. So you're in a little sort of metal cubby hole with all your stuff at the foot of your bed, and you slept there. And the engine is on overnight, you know, to keep the heating, electricity and everything like that on. That was so relaxing. The very slight thrumming of the engine and the very slight vibration, I went out like a fucking light. It was the best. It was
maybe
such a nice
background noise.
It might
be a combination, though. Like, I feel like that's a combo situation. You have that noise, but also you have a day where you probably had to do a lot. And in an unfamiliar environment, so you're physically and mentally exhausted at the same time at night, and then you have that soothing sound as well. That's got to be
like
the ultimate combo, right?
It was really
nice.
Because
on a daily basis, how often do you get that where you're both physically and mentally exhausted at the end of the day, and you go to bed, and there's like, you know, something, some rain sounds or something like that, right? Like it's pretty rare, I'd say. I like maybe some people experience that, but like I certainly don't.
I was just playing Tarkov until
maybe one
midnight.
Of those things.
Exhausted.
Yeah.
So, go on,
Lulu.
No, but you're right. Like the other thing is I read about like there's like five different colors of noise as well. Like because there's white noise that we obviously know about. Well, there's also pink and blue and violet and brown.
I got some brown noise for you right here.
Well, the brown noise is named after a guy called Robert Brown, I think, rather than...
not a man who recorded his farts for 20 years.
But they're like, because people sometimes do like listening to the white noise, and I always hated it. But actually, the other ones are more focused because white noise is kind of just very kind of abrasive.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wonder, like, because the other one is like buzzing lights, sounds, and.
Is there like, a green noise? I just like to listen to nature, like the sound of trees moving and birds. Like that. That's very relaxing.
Did I ever tell you guys about the bird that, the bird is the word? There's this bird close to where my parents lived when I was growing up. And one morning he was doing this and it sounded like the opening to Money is for Nothing by Dire Straits. It was like... It's like the no, it was the I want my, but it was like a
really?
It was like a bird song, so he was just like,
wow, maybe we heard it. Maybe he was one of those birds that repeats songs.
Maybe.
And unfortunately, he's a Dire Straits fan.
Yeah, but I mean, the sort of, I mean, he did it for, it had to have been about 6 hours straight. Like, it was crazy.
Oh, he just loves
that song. Constantly, yeah. I guess he just got it stuck in his head, you know? Like,
or he's waiting for the rest of the band to turn up, because it is quite a long intro. Maybe he's thinking, geez.
Maybe that was just the phase he was going through, you know? Maybe a couple of weeks later, it was like Sandstorm or something, you know? Just like constantly for 6 hours.
I'm wondering whether these like sounds are actually just a 3 second loop of, you know, fucking whatever.
I think that would be even more annoying than whatever the sound was. Because you
car ride sounds.
We,
you know,
we do
that's
notice,
one which you
but you
could
notice
use
patterns very quickly, don't you? So if you had just a 5 second like loop, you hear it straight away. Like as this is just looped, and it's just kind of. I feel like, you know, the way car alarms go, like the good car alarms go, wee, ba, 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 like that, rather than just be a steady sound because it's more annoying. So people are more likely to look and say, shut that fucking car
man,
up.
Speaking of loops, I've gone down rabbit holes recently where I've been really interested in watching videos about like sample breakdowns for hip hop.
Like
tracks and stuff.
Where it came from and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And it's super interesting. But now that's led me on to listening to lots of like instrumental versions of hip hop songs that have become available or that had just been released as, you know, like instrumental albums or whatever. And the loops in those are really interesting too because when you have somebody rapping over them and then you have breaks and like other things in there, it spices it up or whatever. But man, the loops are really simple when you just consider, you know, that it's just the same kind of like 5 seconds playing over and over and over again. But it works. It's so good. But
what amazes me is when you listen to those, like there's loads of YouTube videos that'll like there's a song by I think she's called Amory. It's called One Thing. You'll know it when you hear it. It goes, it's that one thing that got me slipping or whatever. It's like,
I know that one.
Hit.
Yeah,
you know the one. So the loop in that is like this weird drum. It goes like bam, bam, bam. It's like very noticeable.
No, 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 no,
that
no.
is like a 5 second segment of a much longer song.
Oh yeah,
and
no.
They do it. I mean, I guess the guys that put these loops together, the producers and the DJs and stuff, would just go to a record store and buy like 100 of these old funk and soul records from
the
70s.
Well, yeah, that was a big thing in hip hop culture, right? Digging through the crates. You find old records, obscure records, a lot of like old jazz or soul, funk.
But they're looking for
a lot
one...
of that's been sampled to death.
Yeah, just one bit where they just go, oh shit, sample that right now. And we'll put like a sick beat on it and we'll stretch it out a bit and we'll raise this bit up and then boom.
Some are a bit like it varies, right? Like if you listen to Ain't Nothing But a G Thang by by Dre and Snoop, if you find the original sample for that, it's basically just the full song. Like it's not sampled from it at all. He's just basically lifted it in like the entire song and then added like a, you know, like a harder beat to it and mixed it up a little bit. But you know what I'm like, if you listen to the original song, it's crazy, but it works so well.
Pure theft.
Yeah. And then, but then some of them are, you know, they'll take like a song, reverse parts of it, you know, speed it up or like slow it down. And you wouldn't be able to distinguish it. You'd have to really, really listen for it sort of thing.
Amazing.
And those work really well too. I mean, it's an amazing mix of all sorts of stuff. But I don't think at the same time, a lot of people are like, oh, it's just stolen a song. But no, he's not. He's popularized a song that probably wouldn't have never been listened to again.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
these
a lot of this
hits.
Stuff is kind of lost. Yeah, they're not. Or they were hits at the time, and it would be impossible for them to make a resurgence, right? The only way that they become relevant again is through, you know, like artists of the day using the samples or using the songs and then, you know, putting a spin on it or whatever. I think it's really interesting. I don't think that it's like theft or...
No,
you know,
no, no.
Or like plagiarism or anything. It's an evolution of music, right?
Exactly. It's almost like saying, listen to this cool... I mean, honestly, like we were saying, some of these samples are buried deep in records that never made it big.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, you know, you found this moment. You're like, oh, shit, and now you've made something awesome. I will say, when they took That's Just the Way It Is by Bruce Hornsby, I was not happy. That's a classic song. And everybody knew that.
It worked,
so it was a huge
hit. I think it was okay.
Come on.
I didn't mind it. I mean, I like the original, but I, as far as sort of like remixes of songs go, that's one of the better ones for sure. Like,
I disagree.
There are some...
Fuck Tupac. Fuck it. That's right.
There's some...
Biggie Smalls all the way, motherfucker. Let's go. East Coast!
Oh, my God. Some of the remixes or reboots that they do of songs
you
are
just created a sweet
dire.
Bread there.
Yeah.
a real serious beef.
Yeah, serious beef. We've upgraded that to an oxtail.
You just created a beef à la reine there, Flax. You're fucking done.
No, so there's a YouTube channel called Tracklib who go through samples and which samples are used in and stuff. And they did one I saw last week from the because it's 20th anniversary of Daft Punk's Discovery.
That's right,
album.
Yeah.
And it's got all of the samples that they used. And they're all from tracks from like 70s, like 79,
Eddie
Johns.
Lots of disco. For like Daft Punk, they would have sampled lots of like funk and disco and stuff. But just
Alan
little bits
Kenny
of it.
Loggins.
Yeah,
it's like really odd, or really odd bits.
Yeah.
Like such like fragments from
But
a song.
Lot of these guys are audiophiles, right? Like you have to have the stamina to sit there, to not only buy an obscure record, but sit there and listen to it like a couple of times to find these little hidden gems, right? Like it's...
And a lot of them are sped up or slowed down as well, so they almost sound completely different to the original. It's almost like they can't be asked to, or that they don't want to or don't need to make new music, right? Don't need to go in the studio and play these things because they already have these cool sound bites that are ready to go.
The problem
and
is
there's so many of them.
The problem is with a lot of stuff, especially like in the 90s, like a lot of heavily sampled stuff in the 90s, once the industry sort of caught on that this was happening and that there was money being made off the back of it, it just went crazy. It was just like lawsuits left, right, and center, right? For like using unauthorized like samples of existing songs and stuff. It was just, it became almost like a little mini industry in itself.
Yeah.
People making money off or demanding royalties and stuff like that. So you'll see like a shift post that where sampling becomes even more and more obscure because they really have to mask what they're using. And then in a lot of cases, like even Dre went as far as to, because he'd made a lot of money at this point, instead of just straight up sampling, he would have musicians come in and recreate the stuff that he wanted with like different instruments and whatnot. And that's interesting as well. That kind of got around it for a while, I think. But still, there's always somebody out there trying to get money, right? Like,
here's a story
in the easiest way possible.
I can't remember if I mentioned this on a previous week. I may have done. Did I talk about Cisco's thong song?
No, not that I recall. Okay. Man, this is going to be one of those classic Triforce moments where me and Lewis are like,
You've told us three times.
I remember talking about the thong song, and everybody in the comments is going to be like, oh my God, episode 75, all you guys talked about was the thong song, you idiots. Fucking stupid idiots, you morons.
Stupid. You fucking suck. I've listened to every episode. That's what gets me. I've listened to every episode, and I still hate Period. I'm like, well, you're still listening, motherfucker. Suck
people,
my dick.
People who complain the most love the most. That's the thing. If you don't care about something, you don't complain about it.
I don't think that's true.
Father's Day is just around the corner.
More like Farter's Day, am I right?
Nothing says fathers like hairy balls.
Yeah, oh my God.
That's right. Do you know someone who is really hairy? You
can't
you
even
are.
See my junk anymore. I've got such a huge muff.
Is there a solution, Lewis, to this problem?
There is. Manscaped is the only men's brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming, and it just launched a performance package.
Oof, talk about my performance package, mate.
For a father, a hairy father. As you get older, you might notice that the hair moves down.
I enjoy having an excessively hairy chest, but I do not like hair on my genitals.
Agreed.
I want to be totally bald down there, but lusciously hairy up there.
Well, in that case, you have also the Weed Whacker ear and nose trimmer.
That's to trim
bushes out of your nose and ears.
So bad.
That's part of the kit.
I got more hair in my nose than I do on my head these days.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
If only there was a solution.
Yeah. Not only that, 80% of partners admit that long nose hair or ear hair is a major turnoff.
Oh, it is.
So
why not treat yourself or a friend to a gift? You can get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com/triforce. That's 20% off free shipping, manscaped.com/triforce. Don't forget that you came from your dad's balls this year. Show your original home
this
some
year,
love.
Go back there and go to your dad's balls with your trimmers in hand. And give him a happy
Think
Father's
about
Day.
Your dad's
trim
balls.
Him up some
yeah.
more. Trim him up.
There's no better way to say Happy Father's Day to your dad than to give him a huge Brazilian, baby.
That's right. Well, there you go. Thank you,
Zach and
for
Crank.
Our sponsor. We will carry on with the show now.
So, the thong song, huge hit. It was like a massive hit. What is it? 2000, I think? 99, 2000?
Thong, 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 thong.
Exactly.
Yeah, something like that.
Everybody knows the song. It was so massive. Like, it was like, do you remember the way Gangnam Style was huge? And but these hits come along that are just fucking everywhere. And that other one, what was that one? The by the guys called, like, Lum Fowl or whatever. Party Rock, right? Party Rock is in the house.
Oh, yeah,
that one.
Yeah.
So these songs were just so huge that you couldn't fucking get away from them. So Cisco's thong song was that song back then. They sampled nothing, really, other than this. He went to see these producers. He'd been in this other group called Drew Hill. He wanted to go solo, and he went there, and he listened to a bunch of tracks that these guys had produced, and he was like, oh, shit, I want that one, which was the Thong Song one. And he added a few bits and bobs to it. But the line where he says, she's living La Vida Loca, because of that line, he said to the producers, oh, don't worry, I know the guy, like the producer who did the Ricky Martin song.
Ricky Martin,
it was.
Yeah.
So don't worry about it. I've got this. No problem. They won't come after us. They did come after them.
Yeah, of course.
And they
said,
he literally just said, living La Vida Loca. And that's it. So the guy who did the producer for the song, the Ricky Martin song, owns a bigger share of the Thong Song than any of the other people involved in the production because of that one single line. They had to give him a cut of the record.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Rather than go to court. Isn't that insane?
Well, that's it. And that's the thing, because the threat, a lot of this stuff doesn't go to court. It's just settled, right? Because people think, oh, I can't go to court for this. It's going to cost too much. The fees, blah, 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 blah. So they just settle. And that's how you end up with all this ridiculous shit. Like,
but these guys, these producers, it's the same with movie producers. I don't think they actually give a shit. They literally just got into the game to figure out how can I rook money out of people lawsuits
of course
and
they
claiming
do. Yeah.
shit. It's
it is.
Fucking fuck off, you know? Just fuck off.
Yeah.
Just fuck off.
And it leads into all this, the DMCA shit on Twitch and stuff like that. It's such a fucking, it's fucking dinosaurs just, desperately, clutching on to this way that they've always made money or whatever. And you think that all these people streaming, there's hundreds of thousands of people watching every day. It's just free promotion, right? If you're allowing your music to be played, spread it out to a much larger audience. People would be more likely to go and listen to it other places as well after that if they've heard it and they like it or whatever.
Right, but hang on. Isn't that the same argument that people make when they try to get artists to work for free?
I don't know.
For exposure, right? There's a Twitter account called For Exposure where artists are being approached by people, restaurants, everywhere. Hey, can you give me some of your product for free or give me some art for free? I have this many followers. It'll be great exposure for you.
Yeah.
And that argument is made by people who just don't want to have to pay for someone else's work. Like, if you create something, whether it's a song or whatever it is, you deserve to be paid for it if people are going to use it. So the argument, it's good exposure, I don't agree with. It's a tricky one. The DMCA stuff, the problem I have with it is...
If you made music then, you wouldn't want people to just listen to it? You wouldn't want to go to a stream one time and somebody is just listening to and enjoying a song that you made?
What if I'm a big star and your exposure means nothing to me and you're essentially benefiting from it for free? I'm playing devil's advocate here, but I just want to understand.
At that
what
point,
do you think
why would you
them?
Give much of a shit though? Like, most of your money is going to be made by packing out stadiums and selling merch at the shows that you're putting on and stuff like that. It doesn't matter.
Money. Tours lose money.
No,
most tours
come on.
Lose.
They
make
a ton
serious.
Of money.
No, they do not, dude. They cost you money.
That's not
it's
true.
It's a promotional
That's
thing for the record.
That's not true.
No, no, no.
That is 100%
true. Tours make the majority of bands now make most of their money from touring.
So it used to be that there were a handful of bands that made money on a tour, like the Rolling Stones
now it's
and
all
bands
of them.
Like that. How?
It's the main,
How?
The main
it's
way,
the main
they,
way
do
they do
it.
How else
money?
Are they going to make money? They're not making money from Spotify and shit like that.
Well,
and that's
well,
what
then that's
most
the
people are using to listen to music now.
That they're not making money from listening to music. Right, bands used to make money from record sales, and the tour was to promote the record. So you're saying now tours is where they make the money?
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Doesn't to me mean that
appearances,
that
because that's
that
something
tours
that nothing can take, nobody can take away from them. Like, you go to a show to see Britney Spears or whatever, you know what I mean? Nobody can do that other than her, sort of thing. So
right,
yeah, of course they make a ton of money.
She's not going to reach anywhere near this. They're not. No, I would put it another way. You're saying that their main revenue source has been taken away. And now the only way they make money is from tours.
I'm not saying that's the only way, but they make a fortune off of touring, for sure.
I don't know about that. I'd have to see some sources. I'm going to have to do some reading.
Man, if they lost money on it, nobody would fucking tour. Like,
dude, I'm telling you, they used to lose. Like, it was never a profitable thing for bands to tour.
Oh, my God. There's no way. Like, even
seriously,
in the
this
70s
from.
And the 80s, like Led Zeppelin toured incessantly for like
right.
a decade.
A big
like,
band. A big band.
Sure, but
that's
like,
the point.
Okay, but and back then you had to play shows, you had to tour, because there's no other way people could listen to or find out about your music, right? Coming back to exposure and stuff like that. So many bands started playing shitty little venues with like 10 people at them and stuff. and just had to somehow work their way up, right? There's no massive distribution. Like, the only way you could find out about bands back then would have been to read a magazine or something like that. You know what I mean? We weren't connected. You couldn't just, like, you know, listen to a Spotify playlist back then, right? So even back then, it was even more important to be touring and stuff.
I wonder, like, there's a thing. We obviously believe very, very strongly about opinions or things we don't necessarily know the facts of, and it affects how we think, right? And this is a thing to do. It's a book I've been reading called Factfulness, okay?
What's it called?
It's quite a famous Tactfulness. It's quite a famous book. Factfulness.
Like mindfulness.
For fact.
Only with facts. Right, factfulness. And it's got, in the intro, it's got like a little quiz. And I thought I could give you the quiz just to see how you did. Because for me, I did terrible.
Oh, okay.
And apparently everyone does pretty terrible. Right. So I just thought I'd see how you guys done. And just, you kind of just have to give the answers off the top of your head. Don't think about it too much. Don't metagame it. But where do you think the majority of the world population lives? Is it in low-income countries, middle-income countries, or high-income countries?
I would say low-income countries.
Okay. In all low-income countries across the world today, how many girls finish primary school? Is it 20%, 40%, or 60%?
This is globally.
Yeah, I globally. Would say, in countries defined as low-income.
I think it's 40%.
I would say 20%.
Okay, I'll put them both down. In the last 20 years, the proportion of the world population living in extreme poverty, has it doubled, remained the same, or halved?
Halved.
I'd say doubled.
Okay. What is the life expectancy of the world today? Is it... to the nearest 10 years, what do you think? Globally in the world?
Globally? I'd say it's probably like maybe like 40, 50 years.
I'm going to say on average. 68.
Okay, so you think close to 70, P-Flex. Yeah. You think close to 50.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. There are 2 billion children in the world today.
Wow.
Jeez.
Aged between 0 and 15.
Gosh.
How many children will there be in 2100? According to the United Nations, is it 4 billion, 3 billion, or 2 billion?
I'd say...
Oh, I think it's actually leveling off, isn't it? Like, I think they think we're approaching a point where we're going to start to see the birth rate leveling off.
Yeah,
I remember seeing that a while ago in the
US. Apparently, the birth rate has dipped below the rate of people at which people die.
Yeah,
and they're thinking that now it's like unsustainable. Like, there's not enough babies being born to replace the people that are dying or something
China,
like that.
Even China has. There was an article. Oh, I think it was on the BBC the other day.
China has historically. I don't know about now, but like, didn't they have population control? Yeah, they had policies in place where, you know.
Right, but what I'm saying is now they're saying that the birth rate is dipping even without the one child policy.
Yeah.
So that, like, I think globally people are having less kids. I assume because they're having to work so much harder.
I still think the volume of people has to just rise, right? I don't think it's going to decline, in the next like 80 years? I'd say that it's going to be the higher number. Well, I'm going to go for the higher number anyway.
You think 4 billion?
Yeah.
Okay. And you think 2
billion?
I'm going
to say 2, yeah.
Interesting. Then how did the number of deaths per year from natural disasters change over the last 100 years? Did it double, half, or stay the same?
I'd say double.
Jeez, let me think.
So from natural events.
I'm going to say probably stayed the same. It's something out of our control.
Okay. How many of the world's one-year-old children today have been vaccinated against some sort of disease? Is it 20%, 50%, or 80%?
Oh, like 80%.
I'm going to go low on that one as well. Like, probably 20%.
Okay. Globally, 30-year-old men have had, on average, 10 years of schooling in total. How many years have women of the same age had in school in total? 30-year-old women worldwide.
Worldwide? Probably less.
3 years, 6 years, or 9 years?
I'd say six.
I'm going to say nine.
Okay.
I'm going to say nine.
Interesting. In 1996, tigers, giant pandas, and black rhinos were all all listed as endangered. How many of these three species are now critically endangered?
All of them. All three of them.
Yeah, I'm gonna say two out of three. I'm gonna guess they've managed to save one.
How many people in the world have some access to electricity? Is it 20%, 50%, or 80%?
It's got to be 80%.
I'd
surely.
Say like probably 50%, maybe. Or maybe I want to say 20%, but maybe
Most people live in cities these days and towns. I'm going to say 80.
Right. And their global climate experts believe that over the next 100 years, the average temperature will either get warmer, remain the same, or get colder. Warmer.
I think it's going to get warmer. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Well, of these answers, I can tell you, Sips, you got one right, and it was that last one.
Oh, no.
PFLAX, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 right.
Wow.
Ooh, pretty good.
Holy crap.
Thank
Flax.
You.
Pretty good. But you still got about 5 wrong.
Well, Jesus. That's at least a
okay,
B-.
Go back through them. I want to hear what the right answer was for some of them.
So obviously, the reality is that, you know, the majority of the world's population lives in middle-income countries, you know, in China and
oh,
India.
Oh, I guess,
which are now
they've come up to be sort of like...
kind of middle-income countries.
Middle-income now, yeah.
The lifespan, the average lifespan in China is 77.
Ooh.
And the average lifespan in India is 69.
Oh, right, okay.
So, you know, this has come a long way.
Yeah, yeah, and it's not as bad as I thought. Maybe my information
is old. And it's because in the last 20 years, it's changed a lot. And when we were at school, we were being taught by teachers who learned it 20 years before them.
Right.
So they're kind of educating us based on 40-year out-of-date information.
Right, right.
And it leads to a lot of pessimism, right? But also, through media and through other things, there's lots of facts in this book, Factfulness. I recommend it. Bill Gates is involved, but the guy who wrote it spent his whole life kind of trying to change people's minds, because he found that when he gave this quiz, Sips, to very intelligent people at summits like Davos, they would get the same score as you.
Oh, right. So I've been lumped in with very intelligent people. Nice.
And I got the same
politicians
score.
Politicians, I wouldn't
you
say very
thank
intelligent.
You very much. Oh, me and Lewis are very intelligent. That's my takeaway from this. Good.
Well, you know, that's how you have to start a book, is that you have to tell everyone that they're intelligent for getting a quiz wrong.
Was it by that Swedish guy, Hans something?
Hans Rosling.
Yeah, Rosling, yeah. I watched his TED Talk a good few years ago now.
He's done a lot of famous TED Talks. Actually, this was his last work, so he wrote this book and then he died,
yeah,
unfortunately.
Oh.
And it's a very... Apparently, it's very good. I'm about halfway through, and I'm really enjoying it. It's very, very Lewis.
Ironically,
anyway,
he was killed in a natural disaster by an uneducated woman.
Yeah, she'd only gone to school for 6 years and caused a huge natural disaster that killed him.
So, yeah, I guess you didn't really twig it, but basically, like, almost all the answers were the best ones.
Yeah.
So, yes, 60% of girls in very poor countries finish primary school.
What about the endangered animals one?
None of them are actually critically endangered today.
Wow.
And in fact, I think giant pandas, I heard this week, were not even endangered
They're
anymore.
Holy
now.
Crap.
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere. They're just
on,
rummaging through
garden.
The dumpsters and
yeah,
stuff.
Fucking panda out of here.
Okay, you were cute when you were endangered, but now this has gone too far. Stop opening those diapers. That's disgusting.
They're closed for a reason. In the last 20 years, people living in extreme poverty has halved, at least. Halved, and the life expectancy of the world is 70 years.
God. Yeah, I mean, I was going based on me just being kind of cynical, but also, like you said, probably my education is very out of date at this point.
You tend to also pick the more negative choice because that's how we are, right? If I give you three choices, you're going to pick the most negative because you feel like that's how we've been taught, really. And also, we feel like we have to galvanize people to action by giving them this negativity. There's a lot of things. I'm not going to try and explain it, but if you want to know why we answered this way, it's interesting. So in 2100, yes, the world apparently will have stabilized off in population. There will be 4 billion more people, but there'll be the same number of children as there are now.
Right.
Which is interesting. 2 billion.
So what, they're just not growing up? That's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, it's changed
like
a lot.
Pan.
I know, like, my grandmother... one of my grandmothers was married when she was 18 and had kids basically a year later, and then had like 6 kids, and
yes,
that wasn't super uncommon either.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But nowadays people are waiting a lot longer to have children. When they do finally have children, they just have one, you know, sometimes maybe two or whatever. If they're crazy, they'll have 3, like we're about to.
I
feel like that side of things has definitely changed a lot, noticeably to me anyway,
for sure.
It's interesting.
Natural disasters have less than half the people that used to die in natural disasters now die.
Wow. I guess we got better responses.
Is that we just have better responses, better things in place for dealing with
detection, early detection and shit.
Yeah.
And also 80% of 1-year-olds have been been vaccinated against some sort of disease. So that's really a lot of modern children, even counting all the people who refuse to get their children vaccinated.
Idiots.
That's pretty good.
Idiots. Yeah. If you're an anti-vaxxer, stop listening to this podcast and fuck off, please. Seriously.
Don't worry.
I don't want to catch your idiocy.
Women are pretty close to men in terms of schooling, like 9 years of school compared to 10 globally, which is not as big of a gap as we're sometimes led to believe. 80% of the world have access to electricity.
Wow.
And it's like, so in fact, a lot's changed in the last sort of 20 years, really. And we are naturally, we feel quite, I guess you felt, and I did, quite strongly that I was right. Do you know what I mean? Despite the fact that I hadn't done any research, I hadn't looked at it, no one had really told me. I had a sort of awareness of, I know that child mortality is this kind of thermometer for
it's a good measure.
Countries. Because basically, you know, if kids are dying, there's problems with infrastructure, clean water, you know, sanitation, food supplies. There's lots of, you know, like when you can kind of gauge how many kids are dying, it gives you an idea of how well a country's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in the whole world over the last sort of 50 years, it's really gone from what used to be quite bad in some countries to very surprising.
Yeah.
Wow.
Even in some of the poorest places in the world. It's really sort of only a few countries in Africa that actually.
So are we? So based on all of this, are we getting closer to creating a gigantic Mormon vessel that we can then travel into space on, and the Expanse, you know, like the big round one with like the fucking farms and shit on it?
I suppose it is quite galvanizing because it does show that despite this it's kind of this silent progress, though. Do you know what I mean? That we don't necessarily.
It doesn't make a good news report,
see.
Though, Lewis. Isn't it just more fun to talk about all the shit that's happening?
Yeah,
and make
no,
everyone
I mean,
think,
that's definitely a
world's
thing.
World's going to hell in a handcart. He's going to hell in a handcart, mate. I don't want to hear facts.
Yeah.
I guess a lot of that shit. Is, like, because you often hear older people saying that. And I guess what feeds into that a lot is that it's just the way that the world changes, right?
Like, I guess. I also think
a lot of people, especially in the West, I guess, grew up and were educated and taught things a certain way, and it was fine for them. And then when they see that it's changing or whatever, I guess they get scared or
I think their
like,
backs just hurt a
it's
lot.
Worse.
I think they just got a bad back and they're grumpy, and so they want to take it out on everybody else.
I guess,
and they
yeah.
think, because their life is getting, they're getting older and they're starting to see the end and everything's changing, there's a lot of old people sort of thinking, oh, everything's changed. No one's got any manners these days. I guarantee if we went back to Victorian Britain, they'd be saying, hey, everything's changed. Nobody's got any manners these days. You keep going back. It's the same shit. Every generation is the same. Yeah. We move forward
slowly.
It's just slowly.
The Stuart Lee bit, yeah. It's like, oh, you know, Romans coming over here, giving us sewers, you know.
Exactly.
I think also you're right. Like, there's this desire and feeling for the media to report negativity immediately. You know, they'll be like, Elon, I heard on the radio today, Elon, on the radio, on Alexa today, Alexa, play me news.
Alexa, tell me all about Elon Musk.
God.
So I'll let that play. There you go. Everyone listening has to now put up with that. She told me that Elon Musk had said, oh, Tesla aren't accepting Bitcoin anymore.
Yeah, I saw that.
It instantly plummets. And then, of course, by the afternoon, it's back where it is before anyway.
It's all
you know?
A ploy.
So it's like, but they don't report that bit. You know, it's the negative stuff that people are, I don't know, it sells or that feels like it's
if
worth reporting.
If it bleeds,
reporting.
It leads and all that kind of
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we're talking about the past.
Thing.
And one thing I was thinking about the other day, I watched Ghostbusters last night because I was bored and it popped up on Netflix and I was like, yeah, fuck it.
What, the original?
The original.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I remembered that when I was a kid, my mum had a job where she had to work quite long hours in the evening. And she would go out,
right.
She'd cook us dinner, and then she'd go out and she'd probably come back at about 11 o'clock midnight. And when I was a little older, I would go and get her and walk her home, you know, because she was like, you know, woman on her own at night and everything.
Yeah.
I don't know what a 14-year-old boy's meant to do, but I was, you know, reasonably tall.
Did you have a hoodie? Because I mean,
I would wear my biggest black coat, and I would have I had a baseball bat that I had,
really?
And I would keep it down the side of my jacket. I mean, it was Bournemouth. Like, there's no chance of any trouble. But in my mind,
my God.
I was doing my job. You know, my dad wasn't there, so I had to look after my mum and everything. But we had obviously, but I don't want to get all old man about it, but we literally had, there were four channels. If there was nothing on, there was nothing on. And God forbid you read a book or do something else. So we had a collection of VHS tapes that we'd take movies or TV shows off the telly
and
then
watch
them.
That
and
was
me and
a
my
common
sister would exactly. Yeah. So me and my sister would have to agree, just two kids, siblings, who never agree about anything. We had to think, what the fuck are we going to watch? And we'd have this movie collection. And every time I see a movie, I think, yep, I can remember, and I can see the tape, and I can picture how my mum had written the name of the film on there. If it was something I really liked, I'd go over it and do a kind of graffiti style, like cool,
yeah.
Or I'd try to do the actual logo for the movie, like the Goonies or something like that, or Aliens. I'd try to actually make it look like the posterized version of the word. And I just Googled classic 80s movies, and looking through this list, so many of them we had the VHS recording of. Stand By Me is a film I have not watched in a very, very long time.
That's a classic. I think everybody had some kind of... That Stand By Me is the one with the scene on the railroad track,
yes,
right? Like the
very
bridge,
famous
the rail
scene
bridge.
Where they
yeah,
have
yeah.
to run away.
Yeah.
But it was like the cast of that movie was pretty crazy. Like, fucking, I think it was Will Wheaton was in that fucking film.
Yeah, there's a bunch of like kind of childhood...
Corey Haim and River
Corey
Phoenix.
Haim, River Phoenix. Yeah, it was all the sort of like
was
of the
Corey
day
Feldman?
child stars. No, wasn't it?
Was
it Feldman?
Corey Haim?
Who was Corey
it
Haim?
It was Corey Haim was in Lost Boys.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, sorry.
Corey Feldman was the guy who's he's a nut now, but he was.
You don't see that sort of format for movies anymore, right?
I guess.
Back in the 80s, there was a lot of sort of like coming of age tales, and you had like a lot of sort of teenage or younger actors in them, but at the time they were fairly well known, right? And they would go on to then get other roles and stuff. I can't think of any movies that come out nowadays that have that format, right?
So here are some 80s teen movies. Okay, The Breakfast Club, which was like
an
iconic movie
yeah,
in the
Breakfast
80s.
Club, yeah.
I hated that. I watched it recently.
It's very
I thought
dated.
It did
oh,
not hold up
dated,
at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very dated.
I don't even think it was ever that good to begin with. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, I heard for some reason it was one of these things that I guess it's like my teacher. It was good when he watched it or whatever. Do you know what I mean? It's one of these things.
If you were 15 or 16 when you
people
watched it.
People used to think it was good.
Ferris Bueller was
now,
another one,
no,
but none of the actors were
three.
Actual teens. They were like
30-year-olds.
Yeah,
they were all old. Yeah. Like, fucking Cameron is clearly not at high school. Come on, he's like a grown-up.
Yeah.
The Lost Boys, which was another classic 80s movie.
That was with Corey Haim and Corey Feldman.
That was the rare double Corey.
That was the two Coreys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Weird Science. Do you remember Weird Science?
Remember that because it was in the video shop in my village and it had tits on the front of the VHS. Oh.
Yes.
And my parents wouldn't let me rent it because it had tits.
It was
on
so good. They make a woman. And of course, she's incredibly hot and she thinks that they're awesome. And I think they fuck her. I can't remember.
Jesus.
But basically, I thought it was the best thing ever. Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which is a classic. The Outsiders, which was like so many actors in that went on to do
Outsiders.
Other stuff. It was crazy. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, which was a classic.
Stand By Me. What was the one with, was it My Girl, where Macaulay Culkin dies at the end?
My
he gets stung
girl.
By a bee.
Stung
or
by a bee. Yeah. That was one of my sister's favorite
sorry
movies.
Sorry for spoiling it.
Dead Poets Society, which was like a.
Oh,
Dead
I love
Poets
it when
Society
Macaulay Culkin
really
gets stung by a bee and dies.
Yeah, that's it.
Dead Poets Society,
yeah,
very
it's
famous.
One of the highlights of the 90s.
Heathers was a big one. Mystic Pizza was a big one. These were all teenager-led movies.
Adventures in Babysitting was probably another one, too.
Labyrinth was
Labyrinth,
of... I was in love with Jennifer Connelly. I would have been a couple of years younger than her when she was in
that. Like, what movies are coming out recent? Like, I mean, I know with the pandemic, like, not that much has been coming out, but those formats seem gone to me.
I can't think
of any modern equivalents.
Because those teen movies have always been there. Remember, it evolved into the American Pies and all
that
stuff.
But even those, you don't see that many of anymore.
Well, it evolved into young adult stuff. It was Hunger Games and you know, the Maze Runner and all that team.
Right,
like,
right.
You know,
I
that's
guess
the genre
Hunger
that
Games
it became.
Is like kind of the equivalent now, right? They are
absolutely still there. We just don't watch them
because
we think,
of course,
that looks wank. It's got fucking teenagers in it. Who fucking cares? It's
I can't even. I couldn't even tell you a movie that's come out this year. Like I pay so little attention to that space now. Like I don't know. What's come out? What's been good? What's been bad? Oh, I guess there's that King Kong one that you watched. That came out this year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I still think about that movie.
And Tenet.
Quite often.
Tenet was the other
Tenet,
thing.
Tenet, I haven't... I know nothing about it. I haven't seen it.
It's all right.
I watched The Father, which was the Anthony Hopkins...
Good?
It's really good, yeah. And actually, it did, like, give me a bit of sort of... sort of stress because it was very reminiscent of my gran who had dementia and was sort of struggling to keep track of things. But yes, honestly, fantastic movie, The Father. I really enjoyed it.
You know
really
what? I watched the whole series of Ted Lasso.
Oh, yeah. Did you like it?
Oh, my God. I love that show.
I told you.
It's
did,
so
did I not
good,
tell
dude.
You it was good?
I didn't say it wasn't going to be good. I just didn't have Apple TV.
No, sorry. I just...
It's coming from a guy who doesn't know anything about football. You know, he sips really enjoyed it.
I mean, yeah but neither does he. So it's
good.
Like...
The new season is on Apple TV at the end of this month.
I know.
It's
I
like
can't
in
wait.
2 weeks. It's coming out. Yeah.
So here's how much I liked it. We got Apple TV because Mrs. F got a new iPhone.
Oh, okay. So you got the year free?
Well, 1 year free Apple TV, which blew my mind. We started watching it at about 8 o'clock and I stayed up till 2:30, watched the whole series.
Yeah,
I
know. It's,
like,
it's crazy, right? It's just such a good, it's not that funny. I didn't find, I wasn't laughing out loud, but it just had nice moments. It was just really feel good.
It
right?
was, it yeah,
just,
it was.
It's nice. It's just nice.
I mean, I love his character. It's brilliant. I love the relationship with Beardy, the coach and everything.
Yeah.
And it's just, you're right. It is not like a hysterical laugh riot. I did find some of it very funny, but I mainly just thought, I want these characters to do well. I really, really love them.
Yeah, you get invested in them, right?
Yeah,
like they're really well written and just, it's not like, it's not groundbreaking, but it's just a really nice experience.
It's a
like,
really
it's
good
just,
show.
It's a good show.
Man, these are some top tips.
I'm glad you like it.
Well, there you go. So yeah, check out Tracklib on YouTube. Check out Factfulness if you want to get a good book. It's really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
Yeah.
And check out Ted Lasso and The Father. They're some top recommendations for this week.
There you go.
Thank you. I was on Pitch Please. You can check that out. That's our sister podcast. I listened to the Spiffing Brit episode this week, which I really enjoyed. So if you want to think about, if you're anything like me, you'll just want to play all the games that you hear instantly. But yes, that's out. Pitch Please. Thank you.
Cross
check that out.
Platform promotion right here.
Of course.
Yeah, there you go.
It's on Spotify as well as we are. Spotify every Wednesday.
Yeah.
New track.
After you're
episodes.
Done shaving your balls with your Manscaped kit, you can fire up the old ExpressVPN and access Spotify safely and securely and listen to our podcast and our sister podcast as well. Pitch Please. Pitch Please listen to it.
Thank you. All right, bye.
Bye.